The Bible says that they gave to anyone who had need. They gave to anyone who had need. This church, this community of faith, realized that it was important to meet together, but it was also important not to forget the poor. Not forget the poor within their own congregation, because you see, this church probably had poor folk as well as rich folk in it. But it says that they sold their possessions and they gave to all as had need, so that none of them were without. This is called need-based evangelism. Need-based, meeting people at their point of need. When people have a need and the church can fill that need, what better way to introduce them to the love of Christ? These Easter baskets that we're getting ready to put together are a way of helping feed some hungry families in our community. We don't have to preach to them. All we do is offer them some bread and a ham and maybe some vegetables to go with it. It's a way of saying God loves you through the people of Bethel Church. They gave to any who had need. You see, we have a responsibility to demonstrate the love of Jesus, not just amongst ourselves, but to the poor and the needy of our community. The Bible says that they broke bread together in their homes. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Yes, how about that? Going to church every day. Not just on Sunday morning. Every day they went to the temple courts. They broke bread, however, in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. The breaking of bread, which we talked about with the children. What better way to get to know someone than across the table? It's not talking about Holy Communion here, we don't think. It's talking about fellowship meals. Getting together across the table from one another. Perhaps this was the beginning of the covered dish supper. By the way, I ran across a list of you might be a United Methodist if jokes. You might be a United Methodist if you need a covered dish, if you think you need a covered dish to get into heaven. Okay, you'll get it. Give it a minute. You might be a United Methodist if you consider a potluck dinner a sacrament. You know, some Methodists are kind of known for a covered dish. Okay, never mind. Forgive me, folks. I'm not trying to be a comedian up here. But the breaking of bread is so vital. And as I thought about this, I thought, how do we break bread together here at Bethel Church? When's the last time we had a potluck dinner? Anybody remember? Somebody was telling me after the 8 o'clock service, I think there were a couple of circles that had a little get-together. I'm not talking about a fundraiser. I'm not talking about feeding the community as we did a couple weeks ago, which was wonderful, by the way. I'm just talking about a good old-fashioned family dinner where everybody comes, where people from all three congregations can come and enjoy a meal together. I'm hoping and praying that somebody, that God lays it upon somebody or some group's heart to have a covered dish supper every now and then. I like to eat, don't you? And I like to eat with my family, don't you? Well, this is your church family. Why not, from time to time, have a good old-fashioned covered dish supper? I know they've had them in this church many years ago, but what's happened to that? Maybe we can start tearing down some walls in between this congregation and that congregation and that congregation. You know, we have three congregations here at Bethel, 8, 9, and 11. We need to start tearing down some of those walls and get to know one another across the table from each other. The Bible says that they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Why is it important to praise God? Why do we praise God in our worship services, be it contemporary or traditional worship? Why do we praise God? We praise God because we acknowledge that God is the source of all of our gifts, that God is the source of all of our bread. God is the source of all love. God is the source of life. And we just want to come together on Sunday morning to praise Him and to thank Him and acknowledge Him and exalt Him for His goodness and His mercy. And we want the people of Lewis, Delaware, and Rehoboth, and Milton, and surrounding areas to know that this is a praising church, that we love to praise God, that we love to praise Him for His goodness and mercy, and of course for His Son, Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether we praise Him with drums and guitars and keyboards or an organ or a wash tub. It's the object of praise that is most important. The object of our praise should always be God and not some human part of that. We need to focus on God as the source and the object of our praise. And finally, the best news of all, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. If you read the book of Acts, beginning in chapter 2, at the end of almost every chapter, you Bible study students, you can too check this out. It says that after Peter's first sermon, how many got saved? 3,000. 3,000 people came into the church. And then a little bit later it says about 1,200. And then a little bit later it says about another 1,000 or something. Finally, so many people were coming to the church, being part of the kingdom of God, Luke just quits counting because they just start coming and coming and coming. They lost track. And so was the beginnings of our church, the Acts chapter 2 church. I'm very pleased that we have over 30-some people joining our church over the next 3 or 4 weeks. Palm Sunday, we'll have about 25 people joining our church. Yes, a few of these people have been coming here for a long time, but nobody's ever asked them to join, to connect in a special way to our church family. We've got a lot of folks who, like the Anthonys here, who have been attending and finally finding that this is where they want to make their church home. We have other people that have relocated. As you know, this is an area where people move into this area all the time, from the Lutheran church and some from no denominational churches at all. And then there are a few that are entering as a first-time profession of faith to Jesus Christ. I'm excited that we have 13 new families joining and over 30, including our confirmation class, which Ray is working with. There's 11 kids in confirmation, young people who are making a first-time commitment on their own, having been baptized, all of them, I believe, but now making that profession of faith for themselves. The Lord added to their number those who were being saved, those who were coming into the church. But you see, the church, to be a sustaining community, has to have opportunities for people to grow. And this is where our small group ministry comes in. People need small groups to connect with. They need something to connect. That sign back there, that big vertical sign, what does it say on it? Get connected. Get connected. If we're going to be inviting, we've also got to be sustaining. We've got to have opportunities for people to get to work for Jesus and to put their skills and gifts and talents to work for the glory of God. People like Beverly with Grief Share and Terry and so many others who sing in the praise team and the choir and serve on committees. There are ample opportunities here, but there are so many more to get connected. The best example of an inviting, sustaining community that I can think of, well, there were two. One of them was the fire company. Any firefighters here? A couple. You look at the fire company and how tight that community is. It's like a family, whether they're paid or volunteer. It is a very, very tight group. And they look out for one another. The other one that I thought of was the Emmaus community. How many of Emmaus people do we have here today? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think we've got a total of 14 altogether, and a couple more that'll be going on weekends in the upcoming weeks. You see, the Emmaus community is inviting in that the people that are invited to go to the weekend retreat are just that. They have to be invited. It's not something that you can say, hey, I want to go. There's a discernment process by the community, the people that have already been on the walk to Emmaus, to discern those who are ready for that experience. It is not for new believers. It is not for brand new Christians. In the Catholic Church, it's called Crucio, if you're familiar with the Crucio program. You're invited to go on this very special cloistered weekend. But then when you come home, in fact, the fourth day is called the fourth day, and which is the rest of your life, in which you are encouraged to get connected with a reunion group, a group of other Emmaus community folks from your local church or local community, and you meet together to hold each other accountable in your prayer life, in your Bible study life and to just encourage and sustain and strengthen one another in your Christian walk. I could talk all day about Emmaus, but our time is limited today. Suffice it to say that invitation and sustaining, inviting and sustaining are two important steps in keeping people connected to the church and to God. I want to leave you today with three questions. I want you to think about these as you leave here today. Number one, do we see ourselves as an evangelistic community based on the definition that I've given you, that it is a community that is inviting and sustaining believers? Do we see ourselves as an evangelistic community? What needs to happen to be better at inviting and sustaining? We do a pretty good job, I think, in inviting, and you know, the hospitality ministry, the mugs and the welcome kits, and the people inviting their friends, relatives, and neighbors to church. Do a pretty good job of that. But what about the sustaining part? I think we need to work on that area just a little bit better and to make more opportunities to keep people sustained. And finally, what are we going to do after this sermon series, after this Bible study series, to create a culture of evangelism? What do we mean by that? It means by everyone realizing that it's their calling, if you will, to be inviting and to help sustain those believers in their walk. It is a culture of evangelism that we are faith sharers so that others will come into the kingdom of God, hopefully through Bethel Church. This is my message today. I think this is the message God wants us to hear today, that we are all called to be evangelists, that we are all called to share our faith, to share our stories, to invite others to church, to invite others into the kingdom of God. But also, once they come, we need to be able to feed them with the bread of life. Inviting and sustaining churches. That's what I believe the Christian church is called to be. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the challenge of being inviting and sustaining. Lord, I know that Bethel Church, we are doing a lot of good things in that area, but there is so, so much more that could be done. And we just pray, dear God, that you'll lay it upon the hearts of your people to ponder the things that we've discussed here this morning. Let your Holy Spirit speak to them. And Lord, help us to find new and innovative and creative ways to add to our number the people of this community. We thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you. And we ask all this, of course, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.